Let everything we always do bring honor and glory to you. Let's just pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. This day and time, a lot of people just plain don't have any time for God. No time for God. They're planning their lives, looking forward to whatever event might be taking place in the future that they're building up anticipation for, whether it be a trip or whether it be working really hard to get money for your child's college education or working real hard to pay the bills or filling yourself up with other activities that you find more entertaining or more fulfilling than serving God. No time to serve God. So busy. In this world where there are a lot of distractions, a lot of things crying for your time, a lot of things to draw you away from serving the Lord. We're told over and over in the scriptures to seek the Lord. Don't be so worried about the other things in this world. Let's pick it up here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He's teaching them here where to put your priorities. What is really most important in your life? Is it this world? Is it what we can build up treasures here? Is it what we have, what we can show others that we have? A lot of people are puffed up with pride and they want to be just like the person down the road or next door or a relative or someone else that they might want to compete with or compare themselves to. So they design their lives to fulfill that very thing. Rather than realizing that we are really not our own, we're bought with a price, we belong to God, and Jesus Christ paid that price to purchase us back and adopted us into his family. Therefore, we have a commitment, we should have a commitment, to honor that, to do what the Lord wants us to do, and to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Not all the cares and the things of this world, not all the treasures that we can build up, not all the projects that we can get ourselves involved in. I like doing projects. I like building things. I like doing different tasks, activities, entertainments. There are lots of things the Lord has provided us with to find enjoyment in this world that are not worldly or ungodly, but yet there's still things that we can do. And there's nothing wrong with those other activities. As long as you place them in the right priority, as long as you have always allotted time for God. He talks about the treasures here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So many people are focused on what they can stock up right here, right now, and be prepared for things. Well, you got these folks that are these, what do they call them? There's a name for them. Preppers. They prepared for the last days. They're planning for the invasion of whatever it may be. Some of them prepare for invasion from zombies, but others are more realistic and prepare for invasion from foreign lands, or some of them are prepared for the last days and tribulation. They don't understand that if they're truly a Christian, they don't have to worry about being prepared for the tribulation because they're going to be in heaven. They're not going to be a part of that. But yet you have these mindsets of people wanting to do this. So they'll build themselves a bunker or some kind of safe house or safe room where they store up a lot of possessions, a lot of necessities, food stocks, medication, guns, ammo, water, whatever it may be, to be prepared for some kind of invasion. Many of you remember back in the 60s when we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, it became very popular to build bomb shelters, bunkers. They would teach the kids, you know, drop and roll and stuff like that, talking about, you know, if there was an explosion, an attack, what to be prepared for. And many of them bunkers still exist. They're probably not in very good shape by now. But that same mindset is popular today to build these places to store some stuff for possibly hard times, hardships coming. Now, there's nothing wrong with having preparedness in that sense, having enough to take care of you in case something does occur. We know that there could be a big storm, there could be a power outage, there could be a lot of things that would happen, and if you just cupboards are bare and you don't have any kind of food or water or survival equipment at all around, you're not very prepared for that. But when you take it to the extreme where you become obsessed with it, that's where you cross the line. That's what he's talking about here, is don't build up these treasures. Don't focus on stockpiling so much that that's your obsession and that your whole focus is on being prepared for something that might not even occur. Being prepared even for retirement. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday about an individual that had was in the military, and he was working toward that retirement, and he had his 30-some years in, and he was finally going to retire, and on his way from being discharged, on his way home, he gets killed. So all that, you know, he was anticipating, building up, looking forward to retirement, and he died, didn't even benefit in any of it. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know what we have from one moment to the next, the very next heartbeat, if we even have that. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back, because when he does, it's going to be in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be out of here. Does that mean we should just forget everything about being prepared? When you go home, just have enough to do you that very day, and just that meal of that day, and that's it, and there's nothing in the refrigerator, nothing on the shelves? No, absolutely not. It does not mean that. But what my point is not to be obsessed with it. I mean, if you all have been to my house, you know, you look at my shelves, I got, you know, my cans of tuna are stacked this high. You know, I've got stuff stockpiled to where if there's a storm, if there's something going on, then I have enough to supply myself and my immediate family with a place to go and wait out the storm. We've got a generator, we've got fuel, we've got, you know, stockpiles of canned foods to where pretty much be all right for a while. Of course, it's hard to stock milk, so I got these dried powdered whey powder protein, whatever it is, like powdered milk. Bags of that. Last for 2-3 years. And you mix a little water in it, you can't tell the difference. So there are realistic ways to be prepared. The old folks used to have, the mountain folks still do this, is dig back in the hill a little bit, make yourself what they used to call a dairy, because they put the milk in there. A cooler back in there, you can your goods from the summer harvest and have food in there. Sometimes you can stuff, it's good for 2 or 3 years in there. And it's good to be prepared in that sense, but not to go to the extreme where you're obsessed with it. And that's what the Lord's trying to tell him here, is don't be obsessed with trying to worry about things of tomorrow, because we don't know that we're going to have a tomorrow. So be obsessed with things for eternity. And he'll give you the wisdom and understanding of how to be prepared and live and survive in this world, as long as we always keep our focus on Jesus Christ. As he's telling us here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now he gets into it a little more detail here of how it applies to this no time. It reads, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is wealth. Mammon is those possessions that you might stockpile. If your focus and your attention is on that sort of a thing, if you're stockpiling things, you have to work hard to get those possessions to be able to put them away, to be prepared for something that might not ever happen, then you are using a lot of your time that could be used in a different way to serve God. If you have taken away all of your money, your possessions, your time, and devoted it toward things of this world, this realm, possibilities of things that might not even happen, like the preppers and so forth, and not given anything back to the Lord, such as your time, then your focus is wrong. You're off track. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Now where he says, take no thought for your life, it's not, well, just don't even worry about taking care of yourself. He's not saying that. He's talking about setting things in their proper priority. Don't be so focused on your life here that you miss out on your eternal life. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? If we fully trust in God, we know He's going to take care of us because He loves us. He loved us so much He come down here, took on flesh and died for us, rose again and ascended back up to heaven. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. If we fully trust in Him, we know He's going to take care of us. But keep it in proper perspective. Don't say that, okay, He's going to take care of me so I don't have to do anything on my own. How does He take care of us? One of the ways He takes care of us, He gives us wisdom. He gives us blessings. He gives us possessions. He gives us prosperity. He gives us intelligence. And He'll let us know. If we tap into that, if we tap in and listen to the Holy Ghost is going to let you know if you've become obsessive about something, if you've gotten overboard about something, if you've gotten so involved in some other activity that is really not bringing honor and glory to the Lord, He's going to let you know that as long as you stay in communication with the Holy Ghost. He's not saying here don't do anything whatsoever except come to church and sing in the choir and preach the gospel, and then you go home and you get ready and you go out and you're handing out Bible tracts and you're witnessing, you're testifying, and then you come back and you do the same thing 24 hours a day, every single day, all the rest of your life. He's not saying that He wants every single moment of every person to do nothing but spread the gospel the whole time of their existence, because there are things that we need to do in this world to live in this world, such as we need to go to work, we need to do our chores, we need to take care of our house, we need to take care of ourselves, we need to take care of putting on clothes, we need to eat. But in each one of those things, look at those very carefully. Are there ways within all the activities that we have to do in order to live in this world chances and opportunities within that in order to bring honor and glory to the Lord. If what you are doing, your activities, can be used in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord, then you are actually preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel 24 hours a day, all the time, every day, every moment of your existence. And then we can live in this world, be in this world, but not of the world, so that when people see us, they know that, hey, that person's blessed from God. They're walking the path they should be walking. I want to be like that person who's prepared to meet his Maker, who is peace, who has peace, who has comfort, who has confidence, boldness, happiness. That we can show others around us, not fear, anxiety, that some people can become involved in or overwhelmed with when they get their focus off. When they're so prepared for the bad things that the news is broadcasting that they are actually afraid of that event coming to play, they've gotten off of the right guidelines or a right track, and they are, as he says down here, O ye of little faith. You become so worried about acquiring things because of the anticipation of something that might occur, that you've gotten off track. You've lost your faith and trust in God that He's going to give you what you need when you need it. Because He says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Food, shelter, clothing, your necessities. If we focus on serving God primarily, number one, in our life, then He's going to make sure that we have what we need when we need it, even if it's the supplies that we have to have on hand for the major storm that's coming through. We'll have that because He's given us the wisdom and knowledge and the abilities to be able to have what we need when we need it. If we seek Him first. If we get off track and we're focused first on being prepared for all this stuff, we might not even have what we need because we might not have the right stuff that we're going to need for whatever event might be taking place. We might have built ourselves a nice little bunker in the backyard and put all this stuff in there. And then there's a big flood and fills your bunker up and destroys all of it. You just wasted all that time and energy and effort to do that. Because you focused more on being prepared than focused on listening to what the Lord wanted you to do. He can give you the wisdom and understanding and guidance to be prepared in the right way because He's going to look out for you and take care of you. So it's kind of confusing sometimes. It's a challenge that we have to make sure that we don't get off track, to make sure that we don't get out of balance, that we're not leaning in the wrong direction. We must have balance. There was a commercial a while back. It's been a few years since I've seen it. V8 had it about the vitamins and minerals that you need for a balanced diet. And in the commercial, they would have the people walking at an angle. It was like they were all out of balance because their nutrition was out of balance. We can wind up being like that when we get our priorities out of whack. When we're so involved in the things of this world that we're not in the center where we need to be on the pathway to the Lord. We've gotten off the track. We're out of balance. If we can pray to the Lord, seek Him first, He can give us the wisdom and understanding, knowing how to do things properly so that it all will be balanced. In the parable of the seeds that we find here in Mark chapter 4, He sets this up where a man has went out and he sowed some seeds. And the seeds fell amongst different things. And the disciples asked Him, well, what does this parable mean? And He starts to explain the parable in chapter 4, verse 11. And He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside which the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. It's one situation where you have. You're out here spreading the gospel, you're talking to folks. Sometimes it gets snatched away from them immediately. And these are they likewise which are sown by stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in them, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are those who have seen a little bit of it. They have an appeal to it. They're somewhat interested, but they really haven't taken it in. And one little misspoken word or an incident or criticism or friends or relatives or someone pulls them away, they're just gone. No substance to them. No roots. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, they are so focused on the things in this world that they have not gotten their eyes off their problems and their eyes on Jesus. And deceitfulness and riches, wanting to build up their possessions, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. They've got their eyes off of, they're involved in everything else, in all these other distractions, such as their lusts of other things, their riches, their deceitfulness that's out there. Of course, all that's going on for everybody. And the cares of this world, worried about paying them bills, worried about having that college fund, worried about having that retirement, worried about having that stockpile of stuff, worried about having the stuff piled up in storehouses, worried about what might not ever occur, and all these worries it gets focused on. And to become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown in good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. So the ones that fell upon the good ground are the ones that took it in and took root. They heard the word, they believed in Jesus Christ, they trust in Him, and that digs deep into them, and they are solid on that rock of faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ, focused on Him, so that they seek Him first, so that all those things can be added unto them, as it said over there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things that He just talked about in that whole list there, where He was saying about the food, the clothing, the shelter, everything that we need if we stay focused on Jesus Christ, keep Him first. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If we do that, focus on that, everything else is secondary to that. Make sure that we have time for God. I'm not just talking about time to go to church. Time for God is every single day, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays or special events. That's extra feeding. That's a place to come in to get a feast and be able to grow. But having time for God is every single day. When you wake up in the morning, you start praying, you don't quit praying. You pray throughout the entire day. That's taking time for God. If you don't even have time to talk to God, how are you going to expect to have the right kind of communication, right relationship with Him? So talk to Him. He wants to hear from you. Everything that we do in our body should be for Him, to bring honor and glory to Him. Because In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He's in there. Let's talk to him. For ye are bought with a price. What is that price? The blood of Jesus Christ. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It belonged to him, because in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He spoke us into existence for a purpose. He spoke us into existence for his own pleasure. We need to bring pleasure to him, bring honor and glory to him, not focus on things that are ungodly, to focus on things that pull us away from God. There are so many things out there that can do that. If we keep our eyes on the right thing, and that is to serve God all the time, every moment of our existence, then we will have time for God every single day. And that's what he wants us to have. Take time to put God in your life. It is so easy to do that. If you, first thing you do in the morning when you wake up, Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that night's sleep. I'm approaching this day. Let me bring honor and glory to you in this day. Guide me. Lead every step that I take. And mean that sincerely. You start that conversation, and you don't stop that conversation. Keep that going. Don't say, and thank you very much, in Jesus' name, amen, and you sign off, and you don't even talk to him anymore. It's not that every prayer that you initiate has to be concluded with a sign-off, like when we have our formal prayers. That's where people get it kind of confused. When they have our prayer at home, then they'll just sign off, like, in Jesus' precious holy name. And then they quit. And they don't pray anymore the rest of the day. Until something comes up, and then they might have a little prayer, and then they sign off and they quit. You don't have to sign off. You can be attached all the time. Yes, definitely you want to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no problem with that. But don't sign off and then quit talking to him. If you want to have a special prayer, and you say it, and you say, in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. And by the way, I'd like to talk to you the rest of the day, so let me start. And you go ahead and you continue talking to him throughout the entire day. Prayer is communication. If we keep that going, then we're always going to have time for the Lord. Always keep that in mind. Pray every moment that you can. Keep that going all the time. That's what I want to emphasize in this. And then we've got time for God, and we'll have time every single day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. Thank you so much for the guidelines and the assurance that comes when we study your word, knowing that you're right there for us, with us, seeing us through whatever challenge it might be. And please help us this week that everything that we do bring honor and glory to you, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.